and on the back of that discussion about the upcoming AHL, we thought we'd get the words of an insider, someone that's going to be actually running out there representing one of the states come with the new AHL format. And is a young player, a bit of a future ahead of him. His name's Matt Bird, and welcome, Matt, to the Reverse Stick.
Thanks, Joey. It's nice to be here, mate.
Now, first of all, let's get a bit of an idea about your hockey journey. How did you come to the game?
Well, firstly, mum and dad played, so I started from a young age. I was brought into basically where they played at Fremantle Hockey Club down there. So I've been there all my life and, yeah, really enjoy it. So
I must admit, your mum could score the odd goal or two. She's much better than your dad.
Every now and then they talk about it, but I try to just make my own way these days.
So at what age, Matty, did you get the feeling that you were going to take hockey to a higher level, that it was a game that you had an ability to reach great heights at?
Well, the first sort of step for me was I started playing state level all the way through from under 12s up to all the way through to 21s, and fortunately enough I was successful enough to make each team along the way. But really it started at under 18s where I was selected for Youth Olympics, and then following that I played AHL that year, and then yeah, it's really lifted off since then.
Now, the Youth Olympics is an interesting concept. How did you find the whole tournament? What was the experience like? Because I believe it was in China?
Yes, it was definitely in China. It was unbelievable. They almost built a whole new city for us. Like, wow. It was just unbelievable. Your whole village and everything, not like a normal Olympic Games. And yeah.
So really it wasn't actually using the Olympic facilities? or
No, they built a whole new Olympics facilities for us. Oh. So, yeah, it was very like, half of the stuff was like sort of uncompleted, but you know, it was all brand new.
Yeah, right. I mean, we've talked on this podcast that we think China could be one of the great hidden tigers, so to speak, of world hockey. I mean, if we can turn China into the game, there's a great deal of potential there. Did you get the feeling the Chinese have got their head around the game at all? Or they're still a bit, what's going on here?
Well, yeah, definitely. In the women's, actually, they won the gold medal over the Netherlands, so that was really cool to see that happen. And obviously, being the home country there, it was really nice.
Did the Chinese crowd get into it?
Yeah, they did. They got right around it.
I mean, watching a bit of the Asian Games, actually, a friend of mine's been doing some commentary up there, and gee, they love getting into their sport, the Asian supporters, don't they?
Yeah, they all flock in numbers, and it's just unreal. They pack it out.
Now, you also mentioned the AHL there. That was your first year of the AHL. You're lining up again for the Perth Thundersticks this year. Is that, what, your third or fourth season now you've been with the
That will be my third season this year. I unfortunately had to miss a season due to injury, but yes, it was very, very unfortunate.
That injury being?
That injury was my ulna. I've got unusually long ulnas, unfortunately. Yes, it's very different. So I had to get my ulna cut in half and, yeah,
well,
very
so
long
they,
procedure.
They trimmed a bit of your bone off, essentially.
Yeah, got rid of 3 mil out of my ulna in my arm, so.
Far out. That's incredible. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. 20 years ago, you would have just had to put up with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. But I was getting so much pain through my wrist, it just had to be done, unfortunately.
Was that like a workload thing? You're just doing so much. If you hadn't have been an elite-level hockey player, would you even have noticed the problem existed?
It probably wouldn't have existed to start with, to be honest. Okay. I may have done it through hockey, through impact, etc., and obviously dragging the ball left to right, you're always moving your wrist. So.
And it was just the one arm?
Yeah, just the one arm. I've x-rayed the other, and fortunately enough, it's stable at the moment, but potentially down the track it might have to happen.
That's one of the weirdest injuries I've ever heard of as far as sport goes, having to have your arm shaved off.
Yeah, it was a very long recovery period, unfortunately.
Yeah, I do remember when you were recovering from it.
Yeah.
That's terrible. But you're fully back now?
Everything's 100%. I got that done pretty much straight after Youth Olympics, so I had a little bit of a break after there and was fortunate enough to come straight back into the program. So, yeah, that's where it really took off after that.
Now, you've been with both the Australian junior setup and the Thundersticks for a while now. Obviously, the next step is an Australian berth, and with the upcoming AHL, there's lots of opportunities for younger players, especially guys like you.
Yeah, there's definitely a good opportunity. I'm hoping to go out there and just put in a solid performance and do the best for my team, etc., but obviously I'm just looking forward to a good experience this year.
Would you call yourself a goal scorer? Or just a bloke who occasionally scores goals?
Yeah, I'd like to call myself a goal scorer because some of my coaches would kill me if I didn't, but yeah, definitely, I'll call myself a goal scorer.
Okay. I've seen you score a couple of real ripper goals over the years.
Yeah, I might be playing in the midfield a bit this AHL, but we'll see what happens, and hopefully I can still score a few goals there.
You spent a bit more time in the midfield with your club side this year, didn't you?
Yeah, it was very good. I was fortunate enough to play with Simon Orchard and Matt Butterini through the midfield, so it was very handy having those two experienced players around me.
Yeah, and they'd be... get a lot of good hockey lessons from those two. I just love watching the way Simon Orchard moves on a hockey field. He's like a panther, that fella. He's great. Now, looking ahead to the AHL, you'll be representing the Perth Thundersticks. Do you give yourselves a chance?
I definitely think we'll give ourselves a chance. We always put a strong performance out on the pitch. We'll have New South Wales have a nice, pretty stock-standard team with Matthew Butterini and Simon Orchard from my own club coming back into the side. So, yeah. Should be very interesting.
See, Matt and I have talked about it, and my tip's Queensland. I don't know, they've got a pretty strong team this year.
Yeah, it's going to be very hard to beat them, but obviously we're going to do our best to knock them out in the semis or something like that. But
are you guys reminded
we'll
of the heritage? Because WA has quite a strong hockey heritage. Is that something brought up amongst the group? Or
yes, it's always brought up in our culture. We do a lot of culture sessions these days about how we want to perform as a team and what we want to represent, and yeah. So that culture has been driven a lot by the older players, but us younger players now are trying to bring it back up through the
ranks. And that's a conscious thing by the team to have these sessions about how bloody good we used to be.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's just giving us a little bit of faith as well. Obviously, we're a very young team this year, but if you had a look at past Thundersticks players and teams, etc. like that, they've never been the highest quality teams on paper. It's always just been... driven and relentlessly work ethic.
Well, I think certainly those first three seasons where they won, that wasn't a star-studded team by any stretch. I mean, there were some good players in it, but it wasn't, you know, wasn't the big fantasy team that everybody would love to have running out for them.
Yeah, exactly. So they just like to work hard and just bloody grind out each game. That's what we're about, so yeah.
So what does it take, Matt, to get to the Thundersticks as far as how much time do you have to put into what you do?
Well, this week so far, what, Thursday now, Johnny?
Yeah.
I've trained all week and every day, so we're leading into AHL in a week's time. So maybe 5 more sessions before that. We'll see how we go.
So it's a 4 to 5 day a week commitment.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, maybe a game on the weekend during the hockey season, but yeah.
And as far as the representatives with the Australian team sort of thing goes, how often do you guys get together? Do you have regular training camps, or is it ever, as a tournament comes up, they say, right, this is our team?
Yeah, so obviously they've named a Johor side that I'm not in representing. There's a lot more younger fellas in there this year, which will be good to see how they go. But yeah, normally we get together. Last year was a very big year with Junior World Cup, so we had maybe 6 or 7 camps throughout the year, but maybe this year it might be down to maybe 4 or 5 camps together. So,
and something else we've talked about on the podcast before, hockey has this funny 4-year cycle that's based around the Olympic Games, and it seems to me that we're in at that moment of the 4-year cycle where everybody's trying to see as much of what they've got in the cupboard as they can, and there's probably 8 or 9 spots up for the Australian team on the back of the AHL. And so it's almost like they're saying, this is your chance, boys, show us what you got now, and then later on down the track we're just going to weed you out. Did the players get that feeling that this cycle exists? Or?
Yeah, definitely. It's always in the back of your mind, especially as a player from the outside. So looking into the squad now, you're always trying to break through lines, and it's obviously been spoken that there's a few spots up for grabs and people under pressure, so that's what AHL's here for, and that's why we're all striving to, I guess, do our best at AHL this year.
And I'm not sure that you can really comment on this. This is something that has come from our podcast, that I have struggled with having India and Malaysia and New Zealand had a national championship. Now, you probably can't say too much about it, but do those playing against those countries provide you with an extra opportunity?
It definitely gives you an extra exposure to a different style of hockey. It's not an Australian hockey championship, it's a league for a reason. So now that's why I guess we're starting to bring some international countries into the league and try to get some more exposure to Australian hockey.
Do you notice that difference between different countries in hockey? I mean, I've got a feeling that in some ways, because of the global nature of the coaching ranks and that sort of thing, there's a homogenisation to the way teams play to a certain degree. You know, they all do this or they all do that. Do you notice that at the lower levels there is a greater cultural identity or national identity to the game?
Yeah, definitely. With like India, they like to control the ball a lot, so then they can pick out their different attacks, whereas Malaysia are sort of they steal the ball and counter-attack really quickly. And then, yeah, us, we sort of just man-on-man and really grind out games and be physical.
You would have played quite a bit of hockey now against Malaysia, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I've played 2 Johor, Sultan of Johor Cups, so yeah, I've had a few games against them, which have been really good.
When I was your age, not that I was in line for Australia, but I mean, Malaysia wasn't really on the map as far as men's hockey go for a country like Australia, but they've obviously done tremendous work in the last few years to be in the position they are now.
Yeah, they've definitely got a lot of coaches up there, especially from down here in Australia, to go up there and help out and expand their program. The same with Singapore at the moment.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think it's really a growth right up there now, and they'll be forced to reckon with in a few years' time.
And the facilities, I'm told, are absolutely sensational.
Absolutely.
Just smash anything we've got here.
Yeah, it's unbelievable up there. It's bloody, they spend all their money on it, they make sure they're really looked after, which is really good.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that other people might not know about you is you're a pretty damn good umpire.
Oh, I've umpired on the weekend every now and then. I was thinking about putting my name up for a little bit of a higher grade this year, but I decided not to, since though there were so many things on, etc.
Is it something that maybe down the track when the higher accolades as a player have disappeared, you might consider doing?
I think it's definitely a disappearing thing to the sport. Like, we're not getting as many quality umpires through players, etc., seen as though that they just want to play. I think that's a crucial part to the game that we need to expand, so then the players can umpire other players and get the feel for the game.
It'd be interesting to see you out there one day with the whistle in your hand.
Oh, I look forward to it eventually once the
time comes,
yeah.
And the AHL coming up, you must be really stoked that position's there for you and the tournament ahead, and it's all there for you to show your skills.
Yeah, definitely stoked the way it's going to be set up. It's looking like it's getting into order now with set up at the stadium. We're training now. So, yeah, it should be good to see everyone down there.
And, of course, the AHL's not just a men's tournament either, is it?
The women's
will be there?
The women's will be there as well. So, as well as the under-13s championships, it is around the stadium in Perth this week as well.
Oh, what a great opportunity for the kids, the under 13 year olds, to check out, to be playing at the same time as you guys.
Yeah, so they've done that with the last couple of years, which has been good, so we've been able to help out with the under 13s and go down and watch their games, etc., and they really enjoy that.
Would you call yourself a hockey nuffy?
Yeah, you would have to. You would have to, unfortunately. But yeah, nah, hockey is my life and I love it, so.
Oh, Matt, it's been a pleasure to have you in today. Thanks very much for coming and having a chat with us at the Reverse Stick. Good luck with the AHL, and good luck with that green and gold jersey. I'm sure you'll be slipping one on soon.
Thanks, Johnny.